Good evening, everyone. Thank you for such beautiful singing. It's just the Spirit of God stirring as those words of praise came forth, I believe, this evening. What a joy. Well, we greet you this evening in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to kind of change direction a little bit this evening from what we took last evening. Tonight, I would like to look at the scripture and consider the difference between darkness and light. The tremendous difference between darkness and light. And I want to consider that we are the children of light. That's been such an inspiration to me as I've meditated on it lately. We want to consider that we are children of light and that we should walk as children of light. I've always liked some of the scriptures. One of them, they that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Brothers and sisters, that's us. There's not a one of us here, but we were at one time children of darkness. It says, and ye were sometimes darkness. And it's such an encouragement. It says, and they that dwell in the valley of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And I've always liked the proverb that says that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I just think that's a good commentary on the children of light. When we walk in all the light that we know, that is when God gives us more light. And then we walk in that light also. And I believe that we are here this week trying, searching, praying, seeking, examining our hearts for more light that God could bless it. The scriptures tell us very clearly that we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. And folks, I just want to tell you, when you've been translated out of something, it means you're no longer there. When I was a boy, probably in the fifth or sixth grade, Lyndon Johnson was president, and there was war in Vietnam. And there were some people that weren't clear with that war at all. They were against it. They rallied against it. And I remember Lyndon Johnson making a statement that we are going to stay in Vietnam at all costs. And I remember one of the slogans as a boy that the people that rallied against that war, a slogan that they had, it was just two words. And the first word was out. And the second word was now. Out now. And I don't remember being politically involved of whether we should be there or not, but I remember being very impressed as a young boy at the clarity of that slogan. I knew exactly what it meant. It meant they wanted to be completely done with anything that had anything to do with war in Vietnam. It means it's time to bring our troops home. It's time to bring our men home. It's time to bring our equipment home and be done with that place. And we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. It's like being out of debt. You know, when you're out of debt, there's no bank, there's no loan officer, there's no lender, there's no creditor that has any power over you at all, because we're out of debt. It doesn't apply to us anymore. So when we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, I'm going to say that there's no power, no demon, no flesh, no excuse, no unfruitful works of darkness have any influence over us anymore because we're out. That is such an inspiration to me. And I trust that it'll be an inspiration to all of this evening, all of us this evening. I think that the Lord would have it that way, that we would be inspired at the thought that we are children of light. I want to think about light. Light is a symbol for understanding. It's a symbol for gaining insights and more information on something. We use the phrase sometimes to shed light on the subject. That means we're gaining more understanding. We're gaining more information. We're getting more light. Light is also a symbol for truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Light is also a symbol for salvation. But now are ye light in the Lord. And really, light is a symbol for all good things. It can be the symbol for joy, for peace, for salvation and understanding. And we are children of light. Now, darkness is a symbol for evil. It's a symbol for judgment. If you remember, darkness was one of the plagues of Egypt. It was judgment upon evil. There was darkness so black and so thick that it could be felt. And one of the descriptions of eternal judgment in the book of Jude, and I tremble to even think of this because darkness scares me, but the book of Jude speaks about the blackness of darkness forever. And you know, we live in a society where we have cushioned ourselves somewhat from the effects of darkness around us, both believers and unbelievers alike. We are never very far from a light switch that we can just flip and flood the place with light. But I want you to think for just a minute about being in a place where it is so dark that the darkness can be felt, along with all the other punishments for sin. There is darkness, and there is no switch to flip. There is no waiting on morning light. It will not come. The sun will not come up. The blackness of darkness forever. That sends chills up and down my back. I don't even like to think about that. But Jude says that that is reserved for unbelievers. It says, unto whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And I'm just going to tell you, when I think about that, and I believe it's true, I believe those descriptions are accurate. And so when I think about that, it's so easy for me to repent about anything. It's so easy for me to humble myself and back down because I don't want any part of that. It's not worth it. Today is the day of salvation. We have opportunity to clear heaven completely. That's one of the joys of the children of light. And it's a tremendous blessing. And even though that is not our subject for this evening, I believe that thought is a good foundation for us to appreciate light and to appreciate salvation, and that we can be the children of light. I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to read there. I've just been receiving some of this inspiration. Sometimes there's a certain thing kind of comes off of the pages and enters into your heart and you think about it, and it's just a real source of inspiration. And this is one of them. I want to share several aspects of it this evening. We're going to read in Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to read first verse 8. And then I'm going to turn to John and read a couple verses. And then I'm going to come back and make a couple comments, and then we will read verses 1 through 11. So chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now I want to turn back and read in John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36 says this, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5 again. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. The burden that we feel this evening is first that we would truly be children of light, and secondly, that as children of light, we would walk as children of light. That the children of light would live and walk and have attitudes like the children of light should have. I'm going to say, not like any of this spiritual nonsense that has hit the Christian world around us, that we are saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but how you live does not affect your salvation. That's a message that has gone out. And what is the scriptural response to that theology? The scriptural response is what? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we that have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness still be there? It's a rhetorical question. It cannot happen. So this passage that we're going to read, verses 1 through 11, compares the end results of the children of light with the children of disobedience. And let's take note that how we live does affect our salvation. There is such a difference between light and darkness, between the fruit of the Spirit and evil, between the works of righteousness and the unfruitful works of darkness. And the end result is equally different on them that do them. So let's read this beautiful passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 32 of the previous chapter. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Looks like it does make a difference how we live. Not once. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, now we know this, these things do affect our salvation, nor covetous man, we protect that one sometimes, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And this is an area where people get deceived. And so Paul says to the Ephesians, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore for partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now I like to connect this last verse that we read with the question that is asked in 2 Corinthians there when it says, what fellowship hath light with darkness? And how much is it? What it's saying there is there's none. There's no connection. We are children of light. We are the people of God. We are the church of the living God. And one description of the people of God, of the church of the living God, is holy and without blemish. That's right here in this same chapter, just a little farther on. It also mentions here, without spot or wrinkle. And I've heard this defined before, and it's referring to the church, without spot or wrinkle. Spot is a wrong from the outside. You get a spot on you. Wrinkle is decay from the inside. The church, God's heart, is without spot, anything from the outside, and no decay on the inside. It's a beautiful picture of the children of light. James says that we should keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Peter says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And we have a special calling upon us. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and read that. I would like to read it. It's a beautiful passage. Verse 9 of 1 Peter 2 says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." That's a description of the church, the people of God, "that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out." There it is again. Out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I want to look at this passage right here that says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of this darkness and into his marvelous light. This praises here is not just the singing of hymns. It's not just a worship service like tonight. It's not just fellowship on Sunday mornings. It's not just being a local church. And it is all of those things, but that's not really what it's referring to here. It's not just words. To show forth the praises, that word is virtue. It's the same word in the scriptures that says, add to your faith virtue. That we should show forth the virtue, the very character of God in everyday life, in everything that we do. Not just in a church service where we sing praises and it was so beautiful this evening, but when we leave this place and enter into the practicalities of everyday life, we show forth the very character of God because we are children of light, the very attitudes of God. And it's exciting to me that we are children of light. That means we have been given understanding. We not only know that we should do this, but we have the power to do it. That's what it means to be children of light. We're not stumped over this thing. We know how to forgive. We have been taught by the scriptures. I love that scripture that speaks. Paul says one place, "But ye are taught of God." I think it says to love one another there. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? Ye are taught of God. I'm going to challenge you this evening. Have you been taught of God? Will you let yourself be taught of God? Will you let God do whatever means that he wants to teach you, whether it be in your authority or in your fellowship or in a situation of life? Are you willing to humble yourself and learn? Are you willing to become a student to be taught of God? God has many ways that he can teach. He's not limited. But many, many people put up a wall wherever the Lord tries to get in. And I want to challenge us this evening that we would be willing to be taught of God, that we would be willing to respond to that glorious light that we are as the children of light. We have understanding. The first chapter of Ephesians says that the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened. That was just an exciting inspiration to me. Just a reminder, I know how to do these things. I can make up excuses and say, well, I just can't do that. I've heard people say that. Well, I just can't forgive him. Oh, is that right? That's not being taught of God. The eyes of your understanding have been enlightened that ye may know. These are some things that we know as children of light. It mentions several things. It mentions what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. But look at this. We know this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? The exceeding greatness of his power to us. We've got it. We're children of light. To usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Well, how mighty is his power? How well does his power work? I'm just going to challenge us tonight. We are children of light. We are connected to the source of tremendous power that works. And then it gives an example. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? That is the level of how willing God is to work in our lives as children of light. That's an exciting thought to me. I just wanted to share it. That's who we are as children of light. We know how to do these things. The eyes of our understanding have been enlightened. Brothers, sisters, we know who Jesus is. We know the value of the life he lived. We know the value of the sacrifice that he made. We know the price of the blood that he shed. We know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And we also know how to love. We are taught of God to love one another, how to forgive, how to be kind and tender-hearted one to another. And these are all things that they're attitudes that we have in our heart as children of light to show forth the virtues of him who hath called us out of darkness. I want to take a look this evening at the burden that God has that children of light would reveal to the darkness around them who God is. That's why it's so important that we show forth the virtues, the very character of God who hath delivered us out of darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. We know how to be humble. We know how to be under authority. Youth that are here this evening, you know how to do it. And you have power to do it in the Lord. We know how to obey. We know how to be pure and holy. We know how to possess this vessel in sanctification and honor. We know how to submit. We know how to be merciful. We know how to serve one another. Now, I'll just tell you, the world around us doesn't know how to do it. The darkness comprehends it not. And that is a burden on the heart of our God that he could use us to reveal to the darkness. They don't know how to do any of this stuff. And when we do it, we are showing forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now I want to turn to John chapter 1. Let's turn there. I want to spend a little bit of time there. St. John chapter 1. I want us to get a picture here of how bad God wants something. What he wants here is not only for the light to shine out of into the darkness, but how greatly God wants the darkness to comprehend the light. Now, that's another dimension beyond what we think about sometimes. We know that we should let our light shine, but it's God's heart that it would shine in such a way that the darkness would comprehend the light. Beautiful thought, and we see it here. God wants the darkness to see the light. He wants the darkness to get an accurate picture of the light. He wants us, the darkness, to understand the light and to come to the light. That's our witness as children of light. So let's read here, and we're going to make comments as we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's just talking about Jesus Christ here, that He is God, that He is deity, and that He has come in the flesh. Now, we run into a problem here in verse 5. Everything is beautiful. Jesus Christ is God. He's deity. He's come in the flesh. But now in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's a problem. And so I want to look here now in verses 6 and 7 that reveal, I'm going to say, the heart of God, what He did about it, to show how much He cares and wants the darkness to comprehend the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So this is God doing this now. We're dealing with a man, but this is God. God sent a man, and He's talking about John the Baptist here. But there's a principle here that we need to get a hold of. Many times when God has a burden to do something, He'll send a man. And that's what He did here. But it's God doing it. And so many times, if we're willing to be taught of God, we will recognize how God is trying to teach us. And in this situation, He sent a man. Says so right here. There was a man sent from God whose name is John. That's John the Baptist. And look here at verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. God sent John the Baptist so that all men would believe on Jesus Christ through John the Baptist. That all men through him, through John the Baptist, would believe. He wanted the darkness to comprehend the light. First, God sent the prophets to tell the darkness that light was coming. Then He sent John the Baptist ahead of him to explain that the light was here. And then He came and lived the perfect life. He lived a burning and a shining light. But I want us to know something. Now He sends us, His church, the people of God. John the Baptist isn't here anymore. But He sends us to reveal the light and to explain the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent John the Baptist ahead of Him to explain that the light was here, and He sends the church behind Him to explain that light has come. Our calling and our mission is very much the same as John the Baptist, except that now it's our turn. That's the difference. John was sent from God to reveal light to the darkness. Okay, that's behind us now. Now it's our turn. We are children of light. And we need to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 8, speaking of John the Baptist here, he says, He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And I'm going to share with you a word that Dale Heise had for the Anabaptist people at one time. He said many times the Anabaptists see themselves as a lantern to hold the light. We hold up the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes we are more intrigued with the lantern than we are with the light. I mean this unique lantern. Look at this lantern. Look at this group of people. And I want to tell you this evening, if the lantern is ever more beautiful or attractive than the light, we are not doing our job. We have a job as children of light. How did John do it? Did he bring attention to himself? No. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I've got to get out of the way. I must decrease. That's a good word for all of us. Now I want to say something about verse 9. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light that was the true light. I want to say something about the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now we know that, and we think of that sometimes as being spiritual light. But this is one of the inspirations that I've had lately. It's not just spiritual light. It's natural light. God is so righteous. He is so pure. He is so holy. He is so powerful. He is so glorious that he shines naturally. So bright that no man can look upon him and live. Isn't that amazing? And we are children of that light. We should have attitudes. We should have visions. We should have character that just shines. Our countenance. Now that's God the Father that shines that brightly. But Jesus Christ the Son is the same. Hebrews says of Jesus Christ that he, being the brightness of his Father's glory. Now that was concealed when Jesus came to earth as a man, but that's who he is. And it's interesting to me, it's inspiring to me, that when the New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven, there's no need for the sun to shine in it, because the Lamb is the light thereof. Physical light. We say God is good. He is so good. He is so glorious that he shines. There is no shadow in his presence. There cannot be. James calls him the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is nothing can rise up in the presence of God and cast a shadow behind it. It doesn't happen. When John saw the vision of the Lord Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw his face, his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That's like looking at the noonday sun on a summer day. And you can do that even today if you have a welding helmet. But I'm just going to tell you, you can't look at the Lord Jesus Christ through a welding helmet. It doesn't help. There's no lens can dim his glory. He is full of everything else as he is of light. He is full of blinding light. He is full of glorious light. He is full of tremendous, overwhelming light. But he's just as full of love. That was such an inspiration to me. He's so full of light, we can't look upon him. But he's just as full of love. He's just as full of forgiveness. He's just as full of zeal. Are we? We are the children of light. Jesus had tremendous zeal. And I want to talk about this some tomorrow night if we can. When it says of Jesus, he said, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." That's a strong statement. That's zeal that did that. And I challenge us, has that happened to us yet? John 5:35 says of Jesus Christ that he was a burning and a shining light. That's a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word burning there means on fire. Literally. It's the same word of the lake of fire that is burning with brimstone. It's on fire. Jesus was on fire for his Father's glory. He was on fire for his kingdom. He was a burning and a shining light, and he didn't burn out either. And I'm just going to say us too. In Luke chapter 12, verse 45, it says this, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning." Same word, on fire. We are children of that light that did not burn out. And we don't burn out either. That was an encouragement to me because I felt before that maybe I was burning out. But children of light, no. We're connected to that light that is the true light that lighteth every man. I tell you, that's a blessing that we can be called children of light. That's part of the inspiration that we've been feeling. Now, I want to consider back in Ephesians 5 some attitudes that are connected to the children of light. There are some attitudes that the children of light have that we need to lift up regularly. We need to be reminded of. We need to be reminded that this is who I am. I am connected with. And there's one attitude here that I don't know how you'd ever have confession without it. I don't know how you'd ever have repentance without it. I don't know how you'd ever have a clear conscience or a clear heaven without it. And it's transparency. And it comes out right here in Ephesians 5, and we're going to look at it. I'm going to call that an attitude. That is an attitude that the children of light have. It's an attitude of nothing to hide, a willingness to bring anything to the light. I want to look here at verses, I'll just start here in 8 and read down to maybe 17, and we'll stop and make some comments. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Have attitudes as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Now, I want you to notice here that we are talking about secret. That's the context here. Men don't like certain things to get out about themselves. They like to keep that thing hidden, cover it up. It's going to damage my reputation. And that mentality is very prevalent in the kingdom of God. And I would like to encourage us as children of light, we don't have that attitude. We have the attitude of transparency. Anything can come to the light. I want you to notice here, "It is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I'm just going to tell you, I've always liked that verse. I've always known that verse was in there, but I didn't know it was talking about secrets. In context, that verse is talking about secrets. It's saying, if you've got secrets, wake up. You're asleep. Rise from the dead, meaning you're dead. If you've got secrets that you're covering up, wake up. That's the message here. We are talking about secrets in verse 12. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret." I want to tell you something about secrets tonight. You will never be more spiritual than your secrets. That one can kind of hit hard. But you will never be more spiritual than your secrets. I challenge you with that for just a little while here this evening. Think of some of the fruit that comes out of secrets. One of them is hypocrisy. it'll create some spiritual talk to cover up something. Hypocrisy is not truth. Hypocrisy is a form of lying, a very direct form. It's the tactics of the devil. He's a liar and the father of it. We serve him when we do it. And when we try to cover up something that we have done and not bring it to the light, we're just keeping it a secret. And you'll never be more spiritual than your secrets. Sometimes we will lie to cover it up. David committed a sin one time, right? With Bathsheba. And he tried to cover it up. He lied. He was deceitful. He even murdered. I heard a man say one time that he had studied that thing out, and he counted 19 sins that David did in an attempt to cover up his sin with Bathsheba. Sinned 19 times in an attempt to cover up. And that's why I say you'll never be more spiritual than your secrets. Let's look what the children of light, that's who we are. Let's look at what the children of light do with secrets. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We bring them into the light. We don't hide it. That's what confession is. You know what confession is? It's truth that's hidden that comes to the light. That's what confession is. And repentance is turning away from it. It's one thing that the children of light do with secrets. I think about this verse, and I heard a while back someone said that the disaster of life is not children who are afraid of the dark. It's men who are afraid of the light. I mean, let's wake up. That's what the next verse says. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. If you've got secrets, wake up and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And don't put this thing off. Take care of it tonight, is what he's saying. And I don't know if this is causing something to stir in your heart, something that needs to come out, something that needs to be brought to the light. But if it is, rejoice. The children of light do that. I could share my testimony of that. I've shared it many times. But I came to a place in my life where I had sin, and I wanted to get rid of it. It was a burden, like Pilgrim's Progress. It was just with me everywhere I went, and I didn't want it. And so I went to the elder of the church I was in, and he said, Dale, you're a youth leader. You lead music with the youth. They look up to you. They look up to you. If you bring something like this out, we just don't need that. You take this to the Lord, get it right, and you'll get free, and just leave it there. And I tried to do that. I mean, I was trying to be under authority, trying to do what I was told, but I'm just going to tell you, it didn't work. It didn't get rid of the burden. And I didn't know what to do with it. I thought, I'm doing what I'm told. What do I do with this thing? And I'm going to tell you, that elder loved me. He wanted what was best for me. I'm just telling you, it didn't work because it didn't fit this verse right here. I wanted to wake up. I wanted to rise from the dead. I wanted to be able to live with a clear heaven. And when I came back here and I heard some teaching, whoa, all this just came back up inside of me, and I thought, I'm just going to do it. I'll be rejected, but at least I'll get clean, and then I'll be. And it worked just the opposite. When I opened up my heart, I think the phrase that we used was he dumped his bucket. Whatever phrase you want to use is fine. But I'm just going to say, instead of being rejected, I became accepted. Exactly the opposite of what my fears told me would happen. Isn't that amazing? That is a promise to the children of light. We don't have secrets. We don't do well with secrets. They're a burden to us. But the formula is so easy. Transparency. Bring it to the light. I'll read it again. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so he says, wake up and take care of this thing now. It's one of the blessings of the children of light. And you know, we need to keep this attitude. This is an attitude of transparency. I don't believe that anyone comes and just clears everything and then they're just clear for the rest of their life. Something will come up. Something will happen and there'll be a check in your spirit. And you know that thing's from the Lord. And that check begins to be a kind of a piercing sword. The word of God is that. And it just kind of, and there's something that you need to take care of. I'm encouraging us this evening. We are children of light. This is one of the attitudes of the children of light. Let me read a couple more verses here. Going back to St. John, I can just read this to you. In John chapter 3, it says this. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, that it become manifest that we are the children of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what a beautiful verse. 3:18, it says this, but we all, and so this is a formula for all of us as children of light. And really, it's a formula for believers and unbelievers alike. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We come before the Lord with open face, hiding nothing. This is the formula that works. And we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. That word changed, I know you know that's what that is, but that's my favorite word in the Bible. Metamorphosis. That's the word there. Same as transformed. Be ye transformed. Be ye metamorphosed. Get rid of all that darkness. Come to the light and be changed. Metamorphosis is a major change. And this is the formula. We do it with open face. We don't hide anything. That's how it comes. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Are metamorphosed into the same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah! My spirit just rejoices. I got free, and I've gotten free a whole bunch of times since then, too. Because this is an attitude. It's the way we think. It's how we look at things. We don't honor secrets. Now, I acknowledge there's a time to not tell everything that you know, so I'm not getting into that. But if there's some kind of sin and something that needs to be made right, we are children of light. We don't hide it. We bring it to the light. I'm going to head for closing here. I'm going to read in 1 John a beautiful passage, verses 4 through 7. I'm going to read just a few passages here on the light. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And that's for children of light. I love that phrase, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No secrets. Not in him. Us too. Keep reading. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we deceive ourselves. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, now that's walking as children of light in its highest form. When we walk in the light as he is in the light, look at what it does to our fellowship. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Beautiful. I know that whenever we teach these things, there's an adversary. There is something, someone, some being whispering in some ear this evening, that's not right. You'll be rejected if you bring that out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But there's an adversary, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." As children of light, we need to be reminded that the truth is more powerful than anybody whispering in your ear that's saying that's not right. How much more powerful is the light than darkness? Let the natural teach us about the spiritual. What happens when there's darkness and light comes into the room? That's how much more powerful light is than darkness. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to shrink away from. That's God's heart, is that the darkness would come to the light. I think I'm going to close with an illustration about one of my favorite little bugs, I guess you'd say, is the firefly. I grew up out west. We made some trips back here to the east, and I was always intrigued whenever we'd come with fireflies. We didn't have them out west. You have them here, but we don't have them there. And I was intrigued by its light. And it's such a gentle fly. It doesn't buzz. It doesn't sting. It doesn't irritate. It's easy to catch and put in a jar. And it's content wherever it is. That little fly will let its light shine in a jar just as much as it will with freedom in the meadow. I've marveled at that. That little fly is just as content in captivity in a jar as it is flying free in a meadow. It just lets its light shine. That is how we should be as children of light. And then one day after we moved back here, I was driving along, and I didn't know this. One of those little flies hit the windshield. And I didn't know what kind of a bug it was until its light came. I looked at that for a long time, and it touched my heart. I said, "Lord, could you do that to me?" At the point of its greatest pain that it had ever known, its light came. At the point when life hit the hardest, at the point of its deepest hurt, there wasn't much fly left, but its light came on. That's who we are in Christ. That's the way Jesus was at his point of greatest pain, when he thought the Father had separated himself from him. That's when he led another soul to him. At his point of greatest hurt, rejected by everyone, is when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His light went on. At the point of greatest concern for himself, he said, "John, would you take care of my mother?" Thinking of others. At his point of greatest need, when he felt like his father had forsaken him, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We are called to be children of light. We are called to keep heaven clear. We are called to get ourselves out of the way so that Christ can be seen. I was just thinking about another illustration when a young man went down to just hike down to the river. There were several fishermen on the stream, and he walked up to them and, have you caught anything today? And the first one said, nope, they're not biting today. It's just no fish. Walked down to the next fisherman and he said, how's it going? And he said, there's no fish in there. No one had caught any fish. And he walked a little farther up the river to an older man, and his creel was just clear full. They were hanging out. They were just, he didn't have a place for all of them. And the young man looked at him and he said, it looks like it's a good day for fishing. What is your seat to catch fish? And the old man looked down at him and he said, if you want to catch fish, there are three things. The first one is to get yourself out of sight. And just to make a strong point, he said, the second one is to get yourself further out of sight. And the third thing is to let your bait. And he said, and it works for catching men. Get yourself out of sight. Get yourself further out of sight. Let Christ be. That is the grace of the children of light. May God have his way this evening. I have a song that I want to read. It's 923. I'm going to read it. It's a beautiful song. I think about this often. It's a desire of our heart to be soft clay in the Master's hands. You know, and that's what this song is about. When we are soft clay in the Master's hands, he can do whatever he wants to do with us. It's up to him. We yield ourselves. That's what this song is about. That's what the children of light do. And that is the pressure upon us this evening. We want God to have his way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded. I trust that's each of us. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. I'm just going to add that one of the highest forms of worship is help me. I've always liked the scripture of one of the women that came up to Jesus Christ, and she worshiped him, saying, help me, I pray. Power, all power surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. That's the cry of my heart. Hold over my being absolute sway. You can do anything you want to do. I want to give you a guarantee. If you give God that level of liberty, do whatever you want to do with me. You give God that kind of liberty. Here's the guarantee. He will take it. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Let's stand before the Lord and sing this song. And I'm going to encourage us, if you have secrets, if there's something in your heart that you want to bring forward, there have been people ask, why do we have altar calls? It's just a sacred time. It's a time when we just simply open the door for an opportunity to make anything right that the Spirit of God is prompting you needs to be made right.